As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today. So the year is 1997, and Doug Cutting started writing the first version of Lucene, a full text search library. Now, it took Cutting only a couple months to have something useful, but then he let his work sit, and for 3 years, it sat on his hard drive. Now, this work would form the basis of what we know as big data, as the ability to store and retrieve massive amounts of data, but for 3 years, it just sat there. And in 2000, he finally got sick of having it sit and burn a hole in his hard drive, if you will, so he open sourced it. This would change the course of database software forever. And that's what we're going to dive into today, the history of Hadoop, one of the most important developments for storing, processing, and retrieving big data in our lifetime. So stay tuned. Welcome to Rocketship.fm, the podcast where we explore startups from funding to growth, from culture to sales, and everything in between. I'm Michael Sacco.
And I'm Joelle Goldman.
Now, we don't often think of search and the technology behind search would one day help save lives, or maybe we do. I don't always associate it, but we're going to get there. We're going to tell the story of how Hadoop is currently saving lives today. But first, we're going to go back to the beginning. So with the success of Cutting's first open source project. Through it, he meets Mike Caffarella, who would become his co-founder on Nutch, which is an open source search engine that crawls the web and indexes it. Now, the crazy part is Google is developing a very, very similar technology. In fact, they're a bit farther ahead than Nutch and Cutting's open source version.
Within about a year, we had it running on these five machines, could crawl, you know, a couple hundred million web pages a week.
That's Doug Cutting from a talk he did a couple years ago about the early days of Nutch.
But while it was scalable in theory, in practice, it was really difficult. It was a full-time job to keep things running. I had to be monitoring the various drives on these five machines. I think they each had four drives, and see how full they were, and start, you know, filling up new drives each time one filled, watching the different stages of the processing, making sure that, you know, they didn't fail, and then once they'd all completed, you're kicking off the next phase of the computation, and it was just a as I said, a full-time job to monitor this. If we'd had another five nodes, it would have taken another person probably to keep it running. So it might have been scalable, but not very easily, and not inexpensively.
So right around this time, Google actually publishes two papers that will help solve a lot of the problems that they were facing. The first being on the Google File System, which helps to lay out a method for organizing a distributed file system so that it all operates as one single system, which was one of the major issues Cutting was facing. And then the other was on MapReduce.
Which provided a mechanism for doing computation distributed over the data in this kind of a file system, with the idea that you'd send the computation out to run on a node where the data was locally present, so you get good performance, but again, with a fault-tolerant mechanism, so that if a machine failed, things would just run a little slower. You wouldn't be totally stuck. You wouldn't even have to start over from scratch. It could recover and keep things running. And so I saw right away this would be a huge advantage. The actual way that they were partitioning work and the flow and the algorithms were pretty much identical to what we were already doing. It didn't take fundamental changes in the way we had built Nutch. What it provided was this general purpose platform that would take away all the busy work of keeping it running.
So Cutting is really starting to see how much work is needed. He realized this would probably take them a decade working part-time on it to just get it to the point where they could actually open source this software and it would be stable enough to run. Plus, they have the problem of not having enough data at their disposal in order to fully test this implementation.
So we're going to find out what he does in order to bring Hadoop to the masses in just a second. But first, a quick word from our sponsor. Now, back to the show. And this could be the end of the road for a project like this. They could have just thrown in the towel and said, we're never going to be able to compete with Google. We're never going to see that size data. But there was something interesting happening in the industry where Google was the leader and Yahoo is now trying to catch up. So I talked to Amer Awadalla, who was an engineer at Yahoo at that time, about what was happening at Yahoo when they decided to bring Cutting on.
And I was there at Yahoo. I witnessed this and saw this firsthand. Yahoo was not able to scale their web infrastructure, the web search infrastructure for crawling the web and creating an index of the web. They were not able to scale the one they had, which came from Infamy. It was a company that Yahoo acquired. And they needed to build something new, and they were thinking about going and doing their own implementation of MapReduce and GFS.
He's referring to Yahoo here, who was looking into building their own proprietary software based on those two Google papers.
So they were thinking about going and doing their own implementation, but then they saw Doug Cutting out in the open with another guy called Mike Caffarella building this thing called Hadoop, which was already doing MapReduce and GFS concepts, and was far along the way, and had a very active developer community. So Yahoo decided, let's go hire Doug and let's support the Hadoop project and make it a reality. So if Yahoo had not done that, Hadoop would not exist today.
So Yahoo, not a company that we think of today as being on the front lines of innovation, but essential to our story at this time. So when Cutting comes on board Yahoo, Nutch is still one project, but they're not interested in the search. They're interested in the distributed file system. So at this point, they break Nutch and the file system off into two projects, and Doug Cutting names this new file system project after his son's nickname for his elephant when he was young. He had a stuffed elephant named Hadoop. And so now Cutting has the resources and the scale to be able to build out his full vision of what Hadoop will eventually become. So how much of a difference did this make at Yahoo?
I had some data processing pipelines that would take like 9 hours. And when I moved them to Hadoop, they would finish in 5 minutes. So, yeah, it was just like mind staggering, essentially.
When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And, backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com.
And one of the interesting side effects that I don't think they really anticipated is that it could do everything from these line of business applications to spam filtering, to personalizing display decisions on Yahoo's front page. And really, by the time Yahoo spun this out into a separate Hadoop-focused company in 2011, their entire infrastructure consisted of tens of thousands of nodes and hundreds of petabytes of storage, which is more than I can even really wrap my head around. But basically what happened is that they drastically expanded the amount of data and the amount of learnings that they could get from that data by migrating everything over to Hadoop's technology.
So now, thanks to Yahoo, Hadoop has matured to the point where companies of all sizes, especially large companies, can now use this software in a stable manner that they can rely on it, they can build their entire business upon it. So now we see the next phase in Hadoop's technology, which is where companies start to form around it.
Internally, we were an early investor in a company called Cloudera.
Here's Vas Natarajan from Excel Ventures talking about the early formation of Cloudera that Amer Awadalla was a co-founder of.
Cloudera was born actually in Excel's office, truth be told. The chief, one of the heads of data from Facebook, his name was Jeff Hammerbacher, and he realized that the companies that were nailing big data right were the consumer web companies. You know, the Facebooks, the Googles, the Yahoos of the world. They had figured out how to store and manage and process all of this big data well before the rest of the market. And that was a need that they had to solve. That was a problem that they had to solve for themselves, obviously being web scale sort of at inception. And Jeff realized, you know, hey, this isn't just a consumer internet issue in Silicon Valley. This is going to be a global Fortune 5000 issue. And so he started Cloudera alongside Amer Awadalla and Mike Olson. Amer was a leading technologist out of Yahoo. And Mike was our original head of business and CEO. And so he started Cloudera with the understanding that, hey, let's take all of this rich web scale technology that we're seeing in the Valley, and let's take that to the masses.
And here's Amer, who was the entrepreneur in residence at Excel Ventures at the time when Cloudera was founded.
One of my co-founders, Jeff Hammerbacher from Facebook, he had done the same thing at Facebook. He was the first guy on the data science team at Facebook. And he also has been suffering with data growing very quickly. He had adopted Hadoop and just saw how powerful it is. And then he also had left Facebook and joined Excel Partner in 2008 as an EIR as well. So I got to meet Jeff, and then I and Jeff, we were going to go and start a company around this. But then Excel heard about these two other guys who were thinking about doing the exact same thing. And we were the only people in the whole world thinking about doing this, right? So being the investor optimizers that they are, they pointed out that, hey, you guys should talk together and see if you can join forces, because it's much better to have one company so early to lead the market as opposed to fighting over the market.
And their skill sets lended perfectly with each other. And so they kind of dated, they got to know each other, and it seemed like this was going to be a good fit.
So we met with the other guys. They were Mike Olson, my co-founder, and he's our current chairman. And Mike Olson was at Oracle before that. He had sold his company, Sleepy Cat, to Oracle. And then Christoph Bischilia from Google. So they were the two other guys.
And so if you ever get worn out or sick of hearing marketing terms like data science and big data, these are your guys to thank.
In fact, Jeff came up with the term data science. Like he made up that term. October 2008, that's when we went into Excel and we did the pitch. And we were very fortunate that Excel did fund us during that time, because October 2008, that's when the financial markets were melting down. It was horrible. So, but despite that, they absolutely saw how big the vision is and how big data can truly change the world. And by the way, it wasn't even called big data back then. The term the big data did not exist yet. Yeah, just big data back then.
In case you missed that last part, he said it was just called data back then. That's how early they were into the market, and that's how much influence they've had on the terminology since. And why are we talking about Cloudera, right? We were talking about Hadoop. Now, Cloudera is one of the leading commercial companies that is built on top of Hadoop.
And so Cloudera today is the dominant commercial distribution of Hadoop. And more importantly, they've built a lot of important products and services around the Hadoop ecosystem to allow companies to take advantage of the underlying technology.
And really represents Hadoop being brought to the masses is the commercialization and the services that are built around Hadoop that make it what it is today and allow it to be used in the ways that it's being used today. And not to mention, this is also where Doug Cutting is working today.
So, I mean, Doug Cutting himself, now he does work at Cloudera. So he joined us about a year after we started the company. So he is full-time with us.
So, Michael, we've mentioned some of the companies that use Hadoop today, like Twitter, Facebook, Yahoo. But who else is using it? When we talk about bringing it to the masses, what are some of the other implementations that we're seeing in the market now?
So when I talked to Amer, one of his examples were from the medical field, which was absolutely mind-blowing.
So Cerner, they're very famous. They're a very large company, very famous in the medical software space. And using our platform, they built a predictive solution for sepsis. So what is sepsis? When you go to have a surgery, during the surgery, they might cure you from whatever problem you had, but then they might give you an infection in your bloodstream, and that's called sepsis. Sepsis, if you catch sepsis early, you can cure it very easily. But if you don't catch it and you let the patient go home, it's almost impossible to cure, and the patient actually dies from that. So it's very important to catch it, but the problem is sometimes you're not sure whether it's happening or not. And they built a solution that uses Spark and does predictive analytics that collects the signals from the operation before, during, and after the patient goes through the operation, and can with very high accuracy predict this patient is going to suffer from sepsis. Don't let them go home. And they saved hundreds of thousands of lives right now using this technology.
And what's really so amazing about the story is this all started in, you know, a home, in a bedroom, where Doug Cutting imagined a better solution and started working towards a better solution for this big data problem. But big data at the time was search. It was serving ads to customers, essentially. And now this same technology is the backbone for solutions that are saving people's lives, that are helping to detect medical conditions so that people can live longer. This is the power of technology. This is the power of big data. And this is the power of what Doug Cutting's vision for Hadoop has created. So stay tuned. Coming up this Sunday, we have the full interview with Amer. Tons of good insights there. He was early at Yahoo. He was one of the head engineers there while Hadoop was coming up and being implemented company-wide. And then he's co-founded Cloudera, one of the leading companies in the big data space. So you're not going to want to miss it. Huge thanks to Segment. Not only is it an incredible tool that I've used at almost every company that I've either worked at or started, but it's also an incredible team and people that we have rooted for and supported here at rocketship.fm. So go to segment.com/rocketship to get a special offer just for Rocketship listeners, and it helps support the show. So definitely go check it out. I know it'll be something that you can use. So if you haven't yet, of course, subscribe, leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast. If you're on iTunes, please especially leave us a review. It helps get the show more exposure. And so even just a quick 5-star rating, bonus points if you write a quick review of why you listen to us. To check out the website and see any past episodes, interviews that you may have missed, go to rocketship.fm. You can follow us on Instagram at rocketship.fm, Twitter at rocketship.fm. Follow me at Michael Saka and Joel at Joel Goldman. So have a great rest of your week. We'll see you back here on Sunday for more talks about data.